Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Nazir Daf Mem Zayin. We'll begin the new seventh perek, the bottom half of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Abe Topiel's father, Chaim Topiel. His name was Reb Alter Chaim Menachem, the Reb Avram. All the shans we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin the new perek, the new Mishnah. Kohen Gadol V'Nazir. We have two people that are Ein Mitamim L'Krovein. The Mishnah tells us that it's unique. Kohen Gadol and a Nazir aren't allowed to even be metame to the Zayin Krovim. To Rachmana Litzlan, a person loses his mother, his father, his son or his daughter, his brother or his sister, or his spouse. So in that situation, a person is normally allowed to be metame to these Krovim, even if he is a Kohen. Certainly he is Yisrael. But even a Kohen who has a prohibition against becoming Tame, so for the Zayin Krovim, there's a mitzvah and he's obligated to go and take care of these Mesim. The two exceptions to this rule, that even for the Zayin Krovim, they're not allowed to be metame, are the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir. So many of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol and Nazir are similar in this regard. So this parak is going to discuss differences between various individuals, such as Kohen Gadol and Nazir, and other types of Kohanim, as to which one would have to become Tame in a situation where even the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir are allowed to become Tame. What is that? For example, for a Meis Mitzvah. So even though Kohen Gadol and Nazir ain't metame l'kroveyan, however, if they come upon a Meis Mitzvah, we had discussed the Meis Mitzvah previously, Meis Mitzvah is somebody that if he were to call out, or if somebody were to call out, who would bury this person? Can somebody come and bury this person? Nobody would come forward. There is no person that would come forward to bury them, so that's called the Meis Mitzvah. So everybody, even the Kohen Gadol, the Nazir, have an obligation to bury such a person, and they are mechuyev, avol mitamim l'Meis Mitzvah. They have to go and be mitamim to a Meis Mitzvah if there is no one else there. So while they can't even be mitamim to the Zayin Krovim, nevertheless, they would have to be metame to a Meis Mitzvah. So, for example, what happens if both of them are in this situation and only one of them is needed? So, if they were alone, each one, as we'll learn out towards the end of the shiur today, will derive why this is so. Each of them would have to be metame to the Meis Mitzvah if they were alone. But here, they're both together, and the Meis Mitzvah can be taken care of by only one person. So, who should go and take care of it? The Kohen Gadol or the Nazir? So this is Machlokas. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that it would be preferable Yitame Kohen Gadol v'ayitame Nazir. It would be preferable for the Kohen Gadol to become Tame and not the Nazir. Why is that? We'll explain in a moment. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham Lomrim, no, it would be preferable Yitame Nazir. Let the Nazir become Tame, and so much more so than the Kohen Gadol, even a regular Kohen who's prohibited to normally become Tame, unless it's a Meis Mitzvah, but he shouldn't become Tame if there's somebody else to take care of it. If there is a Nazir able to take care of it, the Chacham hold that not only does the Nazir become Tame ahead of the Kohen Gadol, but Ayitame even Kohen Hedjot. The Chiddush over here is that the Nazir is preferable for the Nazir to become Tame than even a Kohen Hedjot, and certainly Allah Chaskam V'Kama, not to let the Kohen Gadol become Tame. Now, what's the rationale for Rabbi Elazar's opinion, who says it's preferable for the Kohen Gadol even, and certainly a regular Kohen, to become Tameh and not the Nazir, versus the Chachamim would say it's preferable for the Nazir to become Tameh and certainly not the Kohen Gadol, but not even a Kohen Hedjot. So the rationale is as follows. Amalhem Rebbe Elazar says to the Chachamim, the reason why I said it's preferable for the Kohen Gadol and certainly a regular Kohen to become Tameh instead of the Nazir is because, after all, it's preferable Yitameh Kohen, a Kohen Gadol, and certainly a regular Kohen will be preferable they become Tameh head of the Nazir, because she'eno mevi karvan al tumaso, because the Nazir, if he becomes Tomei during his Nazir's period of time, has to have a Tahara process to become Tar from his Tumas Mace, which of course everybody has to do, the Hazoyan Shlishi Shvi, going to the Mikvah, and then waiting hair of Shemesh, but by a regular person, even a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen, that's it, end of the period of Tumah, and now they're Tar again. But the Nazir who becomes Tame has to bring the Karbanos, maybe Karban al Tumaso. He has to bring the two burnt offerings, the Ola and the Chatas, and he has to bring the Asham. So therefore, this is a higher level, so to say, of Tumah, and therefore it would be preferable that one of the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol even, or certainly a regular Kohen, should become Tame rather than the Nazir, because, as Rabbi Elazar says, preferable to let the Kohen become Tame, because he doesn't. She'eino maybe Karban al Tumaso, the Ayitame Nazir, who may be Karban al Tumaso. So that's what Elazar's reasoning. Since the Nazir has to bring Karbanos, and even the Kohen Gadol, and certainly a regular Kohen don't have to bring Karbanos, preferable that they should become Tame, not the Nazir, if they chance upon a Meis Mitzvah, and only one of them has to become Tame. The Chacham responded to this by the following. Amrullah, the Chacham say back to Rabbi Elazar, no. Yitame Nazir, it's preferable to have the Nazir become Tame. Why? She'en k'dushas u'k'dushas olam. A Nazir is a Nazir for a period of time, 30 days, stam Naziris, or he takes it for 100 days, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, but it's for a set period of time normally. Well, there is a Nazir Olam, that's the rare exception, not the rule. So since the vast majority of Nazirim are Nazirim for a specified period of time, therefore, the Chachamim argue back to Rabbi Eliezer, Yitami Nazir She'ein Kedusha, so Kedusha's Olam, it's not a permanent Kedusha. Now he's a Nazir. After he's done with his Nazirus, he's a regular Yisrael. And therefore, there is no prohibition of Makom Tami in that situation. So his prohibitions are only a temporary prohibition. Ain't Kedushas or Kedushas Olam. And therefore, preferable to the Nazir should become Tami of Ayitame Kohen. And a Kohen, even a regular Kohen who's Kedushas or Kedushas Olam, preferable that they don't become Tami. So this is the Machok is between the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that it's preferable for the Kohanim to become Tomei rather than the Chacham who say it's preferable for the Nazir to become Tomei when you have them both coming upon a Meis Mitzvah and only one of them needs to become Tomei. Now, the Gemara starts off and says, Bishlamo Kohen Gadol v'Nazir. We understand this machlokis in the Mishnah between the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol as understood by Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, Ha'isav HaKohen Gadol. Chachamim hold that it's preferable that the Nazir becomes Tomei because the Kohen Gadol and even a regular Kohen, their Kedusha also is Kedusha Solim, so preferable that they don't become Tomei. And we understand, Rabbi Eliezer, Vaisav and Nazir other, that it's more preferable that the Kohen Gadol and certainly a regular Kohen should become Tomei because the Nazir has to bring Korbanos. Very good, we understood that. But now the Gemara is going to start. What about other two people that come into contact with the Meis Mitzvah and each of them has a reason not to become Tomei? Which one then should become Tomei? What do we mean? Let's see the Gemara. Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha. You have a Kohen Gadol that was Mashuach. He was anointed with the shemen ha-mishcha. The shemen ha-mishcha was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a special combination of ingredients that lasted forever. It never ran out. And this shemen ha-mishcha was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it lasted forever. There is an opinion that suggests that this shemen ha-mishcha was actually the pach shemen that Yaakov Avinu went back for, and then that was the hidden away pach shemen that they found by the Nes of Chanukah. Very interesting medrash. In any event, so the Moshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha is a Kohen Gadol that had the anointment with the shemen ha-mishcha, and that's what made him into the Kohen Gadol. And until time of Yoshio, when they had the Shemen HaMishcha, in his time, he saw the Nebuch, that the forthcoming destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so he hid away many of the things in the Beis HaMikdash, including the Shemen HaMishcha. So from that point and onwards, a Kohen Gadol, when he was declared to be the Kohen Gadol, appointed to be the Kohen Gadol, he wasn't anointed any further with the Shemen HaMishcha, because they didn't have it, and instead they did what was called Meruba Begadim, and we turn to him, Zayin Amid Beis. This is a Kohen Gadol, who, just by wearing the eight garments that a Kohen Gadol wears, that was how he was inaugurated to become the Kohen Gadol. The regular Kohen wears only four garments, and the Kohen Gadol wears the eight garments. So therefore, if you have a Kohen Gadol who was anointed, and at the same time you have a Kohen Gadol who is Meruba Begadim, he was not anointed, but he was made the Kohen Gadol into being Kohen Gadol by wearing the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. Now, obviously, most of you are thinking, how could this possibly be that you have a Kohen Gadol who is anointed and a Kohen Gadol who is Meruba Begadim at the same time? So the answer is, right around the time that Yoshio was Gones, the Shemen HaMishcha, you could have one Kohen Gadol that was anointed, and then while he was Kohen Gadol, they hid away the Shemen HaMishcha, they didn't have it anymore, and then, for whatever the reason, he became Tomei, he became possible for whatever the reason, and they had to pick another Kohen Gadol. This second Kohen Gadol was now Meruba Begadim. Then, after a while, the first Kohen Gadol who was anointed comes back, and now you have both of them. You have the Kohen Gadol who was Moshuach, and you have another Kohen Gadol who's Meruba Begadim. So in this situation, Moshuach b'Shemen HaMishcha Odiv. So then, the Meis Mitzvah should be taken care of by the Meruba Begadim, because the Moshuach, the Kohen Gadol that was Moshuach b'Shemen HaMishcha is on a higher level, because the Ilu Moshuach b'Shemen HaMishcha may be par habol kol mitzvos, the Ilu Meruba Begadim ain't no maybe. See, this is a din that we see a stringency that's found by the Kohen Gadol who is Moshuach with the Shemen HaMishcha versus the Kohen Gadol who is made the Kohen Gadol by just wearing the eight garments, by being Meruba Begadim. What is this stringency? The Mevi Par HaBal Kol HaMitzvos. So we're familiar with the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, when the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din, goes and tells Klal Yisrael to such a thing is acceptable. First, for example, they said that you're allowed to go and do this on Shabbos. It's not an Isser Daraisa of Shabbos. And everybody else goes and follows the decree of the Sanhedrin and does this, and it turns out the Sanhedrin made a mistake. So normally if a person violates Shabbos, he's mechallel Shabbos by accident, bishkaga, so he has to bring a chatos, an individual personal chatos, a kizba or a seira. But if the majority of Klal Yisrael does this under the guidance of the Sanhedrin. So then there's one carbon chattis that's brought on behalf of the tzibur. That's the par helim dorishal tzibur. So this is a unique din. The Gemara in Horios talks about this in great detail, and that's the din. Now, the similar din is found by the Kohen Gadol, that if the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake based upon his psak halacha, so he is not a private individual who brings a kizbo or seira, but instead he goes and brings a par. This is called the par habo al kol hamitzos. So if the Kohen Gadol makes a horah that's incorrect, so instead of bringing a kizbo or seira, he, unique din, has to bring a par. Now, this applies only to a Kohen Gadol that was Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. A Kohen Gadol that was Meruba B'Gadim, that's how he was made into the Kohen Gadol. So he brings a regular Kizba or Seira if he does a sin based upon his own Horah. So, therefore, the Kohen Gadol who's Mashuach Muhammad is Adif, is a higher level of Kedusha than the Kohen Gadol who's Meruba B'Gadim. So therefore, if you have this rare case where you have both of them alive at the same time, a Kohen Gadol who's Moshuach with the Shemana Mishra and a Kohen Gadol who's Meruba B'Gadim, and they're walking together, and they chance upon a Meis Mitzvah, so again, very unlikely scenario, but we're learning here the concept, so the Kohen Gadol who's Moshuach with the Shemana Mishra is a higher level of Kedusha, and therefore it would be preferable that the Kohen Gadol who's only, quote, Meruba B'Gadim, take care of the Meis Mitzvah. Fine. Next scenario is you have a Moshuach She'avar. If you have a Kohen Gadol that was Moshuach with the Shemana Mishcha, but he no longer is the Kohen Gadol. He used to be the Kohen Gadol, but he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. And now you have a Meruba B'Gadim, who is the active Kohen Gadol. How could this be? So here you have the Rosh tells us the following scenario. Again, it's at the time of Yoshio when he was Nignas, the Shemana Mishcha. So you have the first Kohen Gadol, who was a regular Kohen Gadol, was Meshuach Muhammad, and then he became possible for a short period of time, so they had to anoint another Kohen Gadol as the temporary Kohen Gadol. So he's also anointed with Shemana Mishcha. Then the first Kohen Gadol comes back to office, and therefore the second Kohen Gadol was anointed. He was only a temporary Kohen Gadol, so he's no longer the Kohen Gadol, but he is considered a Kohen Gadol that was Moshuach with the Shemana Mishcha, She'avar. And then the first Kohen Gadol dies, the first Kohen Gadol who was Moshuach with Shemana Mishcha dies, and now they have to go and appoint a new Kohen Gadol. So now the Shemana Mishcha has been Nignaz, and when they appoint the new Kohen Gadol, for whatever the reason, they did not appoint the Moshuach She'avar. They didn't appoint that Kohen Gadol who had once been the Kohen Gadol and had been anointed with the Shemana Mishcha, because now there was a greater Kohen, and the greater Kohen was now named to be the Kohen Gadol, but since there was no Shemana Mishcha, so he was only anointed as the Kohen Gadol by being Meruba B'Gadim, but not with the Shemana Mishcha. So you have the unusual situation here as well, where you have one Kohen Gadol who was a Kohen Gadol She'avar. He was only a temporary Kohen Gadol, but he was a Kohen Gadol for a period of time that had been anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. That's the Meshuach She'avar. And you have the current Kohen Gadol who was Meruba B'Gadim, because he was installed as the Kohen Gadol after the Shemana Mishcha was Nignaz. So you have this interesting scenario that you have the Meshuach She'avar and he's walking with the Meruba B'Gadim, current Kohen Gadol, and they come upon the Meis Mitzvah. So which one of them should go take care of the Meis Mitzvah? In this situation, even though we said that the Meshuach in the previous situation, the one that was Meshuach B'Shemana Mishcha, should not get Tomei, better let the Meruba B'Gadim one get Tomei, because the Meshuach with the Shemana Mishcha may be par al kol mitzos and the Meruba B'Gadim doesn't, but here in this situation, you have one Kohen Gadol that no longer is the Kohen Gadol. He's the Meshuach, but he's Avar versus the current Kohen Gadol. So then Meruba B'Gadim Avar. In this situation, the one who's Meruba B'Gadim, he goes and takes precedence. He's the more holy one, and therefore the Meshuach She'avar will become Tomei to the Meis Mitzvah and not the current Meruba B'Gadim. Why is that? Because the Meruba B'Gadim Avid Avoda, the one who is the current Kohen Gadol, the Meruba B'Gadim Kohen Gadol, is doing the avoda that the Kohen Gadol does every day. For example, he does the machtzitza of the chavitin in the morning and machtzitza bein harbayim. So he brings that sacrifice every day. Plus, he can do any other of the avoda. On Yom Kippur, he has to do all the avoda. So he's the one that does the avoda. So therefore, he's on a higher level than the Meshuach She'avar that doesn't do the avoda. V'ilu Meshuach She'avar lav bar avoda hu. On Yom Kippur, only the Meruba B'Gadim does the avoda and not the Meshuach She'avar. So therefore, in this scenario, we would prefer that the Meshuach She'avar become Tomei to the Meis Mitzvah and not the Meruba B'Gadim. Okay. What happens if you have a Avar, a Kohen Gadol, who no longer is a Kohen Gadol, but the reason why is Machmas Kiruyo, is because he has a temporary problem in being the Kohen Gadol, and that he had a discharge, and he is not fit to do the Avoda, but just for a short period of time. And you have the Avar And a Kohen Gadol who used to be the Kohen Gadol, but he's not the Kohen Gadol right now, Machmas Mumov. He has a permanent Mum, not temporary Mum. He has a permanent Mum. So you have two Kohanim Gedolim that can't serve right now. One because of a temporary type of a problem, such as Keri, and the other one, a permanent type of problem, such as a Mum that is permanent, that doesn't allow him to do the Avodah. Both of these two people meet up with the Meis Mitzvah, so the one who is Ovar, not the Kohen Gadol, Machmas Kiruyo, he is preferable. He's a higher Kedusha Odif, and therefore it will be preferable the one who has the Mum go and be Batami to the Meis Mitzvah, and not the one who was just Ovar Machmas Kiruyo. Why is that? Because the Ilu Hai, the one who is Machmas Kiruyo, Chozi Liavoda Lemocher, as soon as he goes to the Mikvah, has Harav Shemesh, so the next day he's able to then do the Avoda. As opposed to Ilu Ovar Machmas Mumba, the one that has a permanent blemish, so Lo Chozi Liavoda, he's never able to go and do the Avoda. Now, if this was a Mum that was a transitory Mum, this was a Mum Over, so then he would also be fit, but the one who is Machmas Kiruyo is going to be fit to go and take care of the avoda the next day, whereas the one who has the temporary mum has to wait till that mum heals. So even in that situation, the one who is tomei machmas kiruyo would take precedence over the one who was ovar machmas muma, because it's a longer period of time, even if it was a temporary type of a mum. Next question. The Gemara continues and says, Zibaylu, they ask in the base madrash the following shaila. What happens if you have a mishuach muhama uskan? You have, in the times when there was Mishuach Muchama, and you have the Kohanim Gedolim, they were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and you also anointed the Mashuach Muchama. That's what it's called, the Mashuach Muchama. This was a Kohen Gadol who had many, many, many dinim that were similar to the Kohen Gadol. The only difference was that he didn't do the Avoda on Yom Kippur, but he had the din of the Shmona Begadim. He wore 8 Begadim. And he had many other dinim. He wasn't allowed to marry an almana. He had to go marry a basula. And Tosos and Ibrahim Maskel, Toshba, brings down a whole bunch of similarities between the Mashuach Muhama and the Kohen Gadol. And he says, Lo Poreya, Velo Porem, Mitzuv ala basula, Verosav almana, as I just mentioned. And these are only knowing in the Mashuach Muhama. They're not knowing in the Skan. But the Skan has an advantage that he is able to do the Avoda if the Kohen Gadol doesn't do the Avoda. If the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei, or Apostle in some way, on Erev Yom Kippur, so then the Skan takes over, and he does the Avoda on Yom Kippur, not the Mashuach Muhama. So the question that they ask in the Beis Medrash is, if you have these two Kohanim, and they chance upon a Meis Mitzvah, the Mashuach Muhama and the Skan, hey, minay order, who's considered more Kadosh that the other one should go and take care of the Meis Mitzvah? Do we say Mashuach Muhama Odev because the Chazil Muhama? Whoa, the Mashuach Muhama, he's responsible for all clients who are going out to battle, so he led them out into the battle. Or do we say, oh, Dilma, no, the Skan is Odif, that he is more Kedusha because of the Chazal Avoda, he does the Avoda, if the Kohen Gadol can't do the Avoda on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a riot from the following Braisa, Toshma. We learned in the following Braisa, the Tanya, it says, Ein Ben Kohen Mashuach Muhama L'Skan. There is no difference between the Mashuach Muhama, the Kohen who is anointed to go out and lead the Jewish people in battle versus the Skan Kohen Gadol, except that Ella Shimhayu Mahalchim Baderech Umatzu Meis Mitzvah. But if the two of these people are going together and they meet up with the Meis Mitzvah, the Braisa Beferish says Yitame Meshuach Muhama, that the one who was anointed to be the Kohen Meshuach Muhama, he should preferably become Tame by Yitame Haskan, and don't let the Skan become Tame. Now Tosus, as I just already pointed out, in Dibra Masul Toshma, it says, what do you mean that this is the only difference? Ein be Mishua b'chom l'skan. So there are many differences. So Tosus points out that this is the only one that is l'kula. In other words, this is the only one that the skan is more odif than the Mishua b'chom. In every other way, the Mishua b'chom is stronger than the skan. But this Braisa is pointing out the one kula, if you wish, that the Mashuach Muhammad has versus the Skan, and that is who should become Tommy the Mace, and the reasoning is because the Mashuach Muhammad can do the Avoda. So that's the answer to our question. Which one of them should become Tommy to the Mace Mitzvah? So it would be preferable that the Mashuach Muhammad should become Tommy rather than the Skan. Ayi Tommy Yaskan. Or it says, well, wait a second, there's a Braisa that disagrees with that. We have a conflicting Braisa, Tanya. The other Braisa says, Mashuach Muhama called Muskan, that the Mashuach Muhama takes precedence over the Skan because he has a higher Kedusha as he's Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and the Skan is not. So it seems to be a conflict. Someone says, no conflict, because the second Braisa is not talking about Meis Mitzvah. What is the second Braisa talking about? Amar Mazutra, this second Braisa that says Mashuach Muhama is called Muskan is dealing with L'Inyon HaChayoso. This is dealing with who should go and be supported first, as Tosus and the Rush both say. See, this is Tosus Liba Masav Otanya. He says, "Kosot Kedaykla the Kodim the Chomili Kamar." That it implies that the Mashiach Muhammad is more important than the Skan for everything. Ella, it's talking actually in the second Brisa, Lahachayoso, to save his life, meaning Lefakeach Lovesagal. They both fell underneath a building that crumbled, and one of them is to the left, one of them is to the right. Which one do you go to address first? You go to address the Mashiach Muhammad first, which we'll explain more in a moment. And Tosus continues, the Imnafal Gal Hashem. If this building crumbled and tumbled and fell on both of them, you go to the Skan. Second, you first go take care of the Mashiach Muhammad to see if he's alive. Likewise, the Rush brings down, if you only have a limited amount of food, and they both need it, so you give it to the Mashiach Muhammad, Kodem Liskan. That's what Marzutra tells us, the second Brisa says, Lini Nach Yoso. So Mashiach Muhammad is other than that situation. Why? My time, what's the rationale? Because the Tolu Be'Rabim, because so many people are dependent upon him. The success of all of Klai Yisrael going out to battle is dependent upon the Mashiach Muhammad. So therefore, he's more important for all of Klai Yisrael. However, in regards to Tumah, so then the Skan is more important. The Linyan Tumah, Skan, Adif, why is that? Because the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignus Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignus taught us that Lama Tiknu Skan, the Kohen Gadol. What's the purpose of having a Vice Kohen Gadol, the Skan, to assist the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol doesn't need assistance. It's only Shem Ira Bopsul. If on the week before Yom Kippur, he gets a psul that won't allow the Kohen Gadol to do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So then, Hare Nichnas Umishamish Tachtav. So we have the Skan waiting in the wings, ready to go and do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So therefore, in regards to whose life we should save, B'fach Keach Es Agal, or to give them food, so then the Mashiach Muhammad is needed by so many people, so he would take precedence over the Skan. But in regards to doing the avod and Yom Kippur, so that's something that only the Skan can do. So therefore, in regards to Tumah, which will mean who can or cannot, let's say, do the avod and Yom Kippur, so then the Skan can do the avod, so he would be the one not to become Tomei, and rather we would have the Mashiach Muhammad in that situation become Tomei. Okay, so the Gemara now tells us, great, I got it. Ad kan lo pligi, all of the different scenarios that we've had till now, we're dealing with who has more kedusha in terms of becoming tamei l'tumas meis. So which one should be adif, which one should not? Ella b'kohen gadol v'nazir, like we discussed in our Mishnah, kiko azlib hadiyadadeh, when all of them came together, such as we had in the Mishnah, the kohen gadol and anazir were walking together, they chance upon a meis mitzvah. So Reuelezer said, better to let the kohanim, even the kohen gadol, become tamei, and the chacham said, no, better let the nazir become tamei. We understand that. Kiko azlib hadiyadadeh, which one takes preference? Avo. Everybody agrees. Avol chad chad lechude. If they're walking by themselves, so then bar itamuye inon. Bar, Tosfos says the girsa ben. So ben or bar itamuye inon. They both are required. If they were walking alone, each of them has an obligation to become tummy to the meis mitzvah, even though they're not each allowed on their own to become tummy to the zayin krovim even. So therefore, that is a special, unique din by a meis mitzvah. And the Gemara now is minor hani mili. How do we know that Kohen Gadol is walking by himself, so he has to be mitami to a meis mitzvah? If the Nazir is going by himself, he has to be mitami to a meis mitzvah, even though both of them are not allowed to go and be mitami to their own Zayin Krovim. Where do we know this then, that each of them can go and become tamei to a meis mitzvah? Now, this is the start of a new sugya. I'll just finish off to the bottom of the dot, but we'll review this tomorrow, and this is all going to be based, I'll have a handout in tomorrow's Shia. This is all based upon a pasuk, V'alkol nafshos meis lo yavo, l'aviv ulimo lo yitamo. So this pasuk is a very critical pasuk, which is found by the Kohen Gadol in Vayikra, and it tells us that the Kohen Gadol, al kol nafsho space lo yavo, is not allowed to become tamei to anyone. And then it seems to add additional unnecessary words, lo aviv ulimo lo yitama. Well, he's not allowed to become tamei to anyone. That includes his mother and his father, and we're going to dash in this pasuk by Kohen Gadol, and then we're going to learn out certain things to the Nazir from this pasuk as well. So we'll just start this sugya now, and we'll review it again tomorrow. Tana Rab on it. We learn the following brisa. The pasuk that I just said, al kol nafsho meis lo yavo, lo aviv ulimo lo yitama. So this pasuk, al kol nafsho meis lo yavo, you can't become tamei if you're the Kohen Gadol to any meis. So, what's the pasuk talking about? If you're talking about Iber Rechokim, if you're talking about people that are not the Zayin Krovim, Rechokim means a regular person who's not your seven relatives. So then, Of course a Kohen Gadol can, because even a Kohen Hedjot isn't allowed to be metame to anybody that's not from the Zion Krovim. Kavachomer is a simple Kavachomer. Uma Kohen Hedjot, a regular Kohen, Shehu metame l'krovim, is allowed to become metame to the Zion Krovim. Nevertheless, Ein metame l'rechokim, can't go be metame to somebody who's not from the Zion Krovim, what we call rechokim, distant people, not the Zion Krovim. So if that's true for a Kohen Hedjot, so then Allah has kama v'kama, Kavachomer, Kohen Gadol, she'en metame l'krovim. The Kohen Gadol not only can't be metame to anybody else, he can't even be metame to his own Krovim. So certainly, obviously, Kohen Gadol can't be metame to the Rechokim. He can't even be metame to the Krovim. So therefore, that can't be what the pasuk is telling me. Akol Nashos Meis Levo can't be talking about Rechokim. Ella, mustn't it be talking about Ella B'Krovim HaKosim Medabrim? It must be talking about even the Zion Krovim. And it's coming to teach us that Ula Aviv, who the Eino Metame, Ella HaMetame, who the Meis Mitzvah. And it's coming to teach us that to his father or his mother or any other Zion Krovim, he's not allowed to be Metame. However, he is allowed to be Metame to a Meis Mitzvah. Now, again, there were a lot of extra words over here. If that's what you're telling me, you learn out from Akol Nashos Meis Lo Yavo. So then what do we need? Ula Aviv Limo. This really started the Sugya. It's going to be a Sugya that lasts for all the Shia tomorrow. And therefore, we'll stop over here. I'll have a handout for this tomorrow to make it a little bit easier to see what the Shitos are. And with this, we conclude today's Shir.